I never thought we'd actually get to me doing this, because the time I was supposed to do this, the Queen had died, and it just really wouldn't have been appropriate. And then even this morning, it was a bit touch and go, wasn't it, whether or not it was going to happen or what. But it's happening, and that's fabulous, because this one just needs to come out and be out there, and that's it, and then it's done, so to speak. So originally, back when it was before the summer, I was chatting to Kim and I said, oh, I think I've got something to share, and this is how it's coming together, and all of the rest of it. And then it didn't just at that point feel quite the right time again to be sharing it. So then we said, right, let's just leave it over the summer. Let's go to new wine. Let's see what comes out of that and all of the rest of it. And as is the way lots of times when we go to new wine, stuff comes out and things change. So that's really, really good. So originally, this talk was going to be talking about the soundtracks of your life, or your playlist, or the noise that kind of is in the background of your life. But as I said, it's kind of morphed. And the reason I thought it was going to be just about soundtracks is that I love a playlist, right? So on my phone, which is over there, on my Apple Music, it's just like full of playlists. And the one that's been the most listened to in recent months has been our Country and Western playlist. We're into that. We've got into Country and Western thanks to Freddie. And it's been fabulous. And I've got my tunes I run to when I'm in that zone, which happens from time to time. The indie selection, the 60s selection, the Christmas one will start to seep out probably in the next couple of weeks, because I'm heading into holiday season. But I really love the idea of a playlist and how it can set the scene for, you can set the scene on it and set your mood. But as I say, as we went to new wine, there was quite a lot of focus on seasons and just understanding that whole thing about what season you find yourself in and knowing that. And as well, I think when we came back, we were in the middle of that stupid hot summer, weren't we? And the whole seasons thing was just messing with our mind. And even now, I don't think, it's still mild, isn't it? It's not, we haven't quite got it to where we need to get to for this time of year in the kind of way that we like these things neatly packaged. So I'm going to draw these two things together, because I think that in understanding seasons, we can understand what noise or background things should permeate that. And also what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about the seasons that Dave and I have found ourselves in this year, because it definitely has been a game of two halves, and I'll come into that a bit later. So starting off talking about seasons. So there's that really fabulous scripture, isn't there? And I think I did read this out, actually, on the morning after the Queen had died, and it's in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 to 8, and I'm going to read from the ESV, and it's a time for everything. And it says, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So, you know, in the Bible, it talks about these different seasons of life that we find ourselves in. And even this morning, we've touched on, you know, where you might be finding yourself at the moment. And as I said, for Dave and I this year, it really has been a bit of a game of two halves. We started the beginning of this year full of kind of optimism of what was going to be ahead. It was Jubilee year. We still had the Jubilee. We were turning 50. The worst of COVID and all of that stuff was kind of behind us. And we wanted to kind of live out some of that kind of, I suppose, that new thing. And we remember it was the Queen's speech last year at Christmas. And she talked about the Duke of Edinburgh. And she talked about how he spent his days. And we were like, right, that's where we're heading. We're heading, you know, we're 50, the church was 10, is 10 years old, like we want this next decade to really, really count. And this is what she said of him, and this was just like, right, this is how we're gonna live. She said, his sense of service, intellectual curiosity and capacity to squeeze fun out of any situation were all irrepressible. That mischievous, inquiring twinkle was as bright at the end as when I first set eyes on him. And we were just like, yes, we want to live a life of service to God and to the church he's placed us into. We want to remain curious intellectually, but most of all, we want to squeeze the very fun out of everything we could. So we kind of did that thing you do, don't you, at the beginning of New Year's. We worked out what we were going to say yes to, equally, again, what the things we wanted to say no to. And for me... And it's probably quite different for Dave, and he may share that at some point, who knows. I knew I wanted to preach more, which is really, really bizarre, because this is the second time I've preached this year. But you'll understand probably when I talk about my seasons, possibly why that is. So I really felt that. I'd spoken to Rich before Christmas about that last year. I really wanted to spend more time in the Word. I really wanted to create more time for me. Having come to that realisation, and this is really, really important, that self-care is not selfish. It prepares you for being able to do what you need to do. And I guess we had this kind of thing mapped out. We were full of faith, anticipation for what lay ahead. But then as we got, it was through January into February, a set of circumstances just knocked us off our feet. It took us to a space we didn't see coming. And the impact was really, really hard. And the joy that we'd started the year with just sort of disintegrated out of the bottom of our feet. And our faith and trust in God was just wavering. We were probably lacking a bit of trust in people, if I'm honest. And it really called into question a lot of the things that we'd stood on, believed in, and all of these things. And it took every bit of faith and energy we had just to show up and keep smiling. And I found myself quite often back in that place that Martin Smith talks about in one of his songs, back to the start where he found me. And I was a bit broken, a bit fragile, and a bit in need of repair. And it was really, really hard. This season, it was just incredibly hard. We're still having lots of fun, don't get me wrong. You know, it wasn't completely dreadful, but it was a hard, hard season that we hadn't seen coming. And it just floored us. And now when I think about the second half of this year, it's been completely different. It has been that season of joy that we felt was going to probably cover the whole year, but, you know, you can plan these things. You know, it has been a time of celebration, as my birthday has lasted probably longer than it should have. It is finished now. Dave's taken up the mantle of the 50 things. We've done lots of new things. We've had wonderful holidays. There's a real lightness and grace about this season. And I think Dave said last week, didn't you? You felt when we were in London the other week, we're in this season of I shall not want, and we really feel that. We really fully understand what it is to not be in lack and just to have everything we need around us, and we're truly blessed for that. And also we've had some fabulous opportunities in this time to look after the vulnerable, so that some of those things we were starting to see, we wanted to see, you know, serving and all of the rest of it is starting to come to fruition, probably just not when we thought it was going to happen. Now, what's really important to note here is that we've had these two seasons, and it wasn't a case of one season ending and another season just starting. We had to do some stuff to make this transition between the two things. And I think this is what I'm going to kind of pull out today. There's some really important lessons to learn about navigating the seasons of life, because our transition from that tough time into a really glorious time didn't just happen by magic or in some neat and tidy fashion. What we had to do to get us from one thing to another was make a proactive choice to exit the hard season. We had to say, no, we're not going to live in this space anymore, letting these circumstances define and dictate our lives and our ability to move on. Even though at time it felt like we sometimes want things closed in a particular way, don't we? And until we see that, it's not done and dusted. But we really had to kind of get over that and make a step of faith into the new. So these are the things that I've learned, having gone from a season that was really, really hard into a season of joy, really, and what I've learned just along the way. So, again, talking about the weather and all of that, we want the seasons to be predictable, don't we? We want them to be nice and tidy, equal length. We want winter to flow into spring and all of the rest of it, and we want it to be roughly 3 months of each, don't we? That just kind of works, and that's nice and tidy. But in reality, life isn't like that, and we need to be able to navigate what that feels like. And what we shouldn't do, and even though I think there's times, and I'll come onto this, we can choose to step out of something, is we shouldn't rush to end the season. So we long, didn't we, for that hot summer to come to an end. But we can rush, and we can long too hard for the next thing. But I really do think that there's a work of the Holy Spirit in these seasons that needs to come to completion before a season ends, either naturally, because the time has come for you to move on, or you need to transition into a sort of in-between space before the new thing is completely revealed. Again, importantly, and it was Amy Orr Ewing at New Wine that talked about seasons, and she talked about knowing and naming the season you're in. It's really important that you know the season you're in, and it's important as a church we know the season we're in. It's understanding the times. And it's understanding that not every season is a growth season per se, but each season will produce something in preparation for the next. Some seasons are fallow. Some seasons are that time of preparation. Some seasons require rest and recuperation. Other seasons require a stretch of faith. And some seasons are, and we can't get away from it, just plain horrible. Like a bleakest of winter, and it doesn't feel like it's ever going to come to an end again. But when you know what season you're in, you can manage it a lot better, and it's really important that you don't fight against it, particularly when it's tough. And that's really hard, isn't it? Because sometimes we just want things done and dusted, and we want to move on. Because you will flourish in that space when you cultivate it, nurture it, and feed it, drawing on the right resources, which is where the whole soundtrack and playlist will come into that. There, you need to have the right ingredients to see you through it. It's not just about surviving or getting through or even avoiding dealing with what needed dealing with. And even though when you're feeling in the depths of despair, it's about finding ways to thrive and grow, even in just the horrible, because there will be those. And it will help you, and you'll be able to look back with confidence to say, that's what the Lord taught me in that really difficult time. And as I said before, and again, this is what Dave and I had to do, you sometimes have to know when it is time to exit the season. As I said, sometimes these things naturally end because stuff gets resolved and sorted and it's all neat and tidy. However, I think we need to realise that we do have a choice to exit the season. We could have quite easily just stayed put in the horrible. It wouldn't have helped us. We'd probably still be sitting there now moaning and groaning about this, that and the other. But we had a choice in a moment to say, no, we're not doing this anymore. And that's really hard, isn't it? In, I don't know, really, really hard times to exit them. But the problem is we can be so busy waiting for some firebolt of heaven to come and we don't move on. And then what happens is we become comfortable in these seasons. And the danger, of course, of being comfortable in a season, it will become an idol to you and you'll become stuck in the circumstances. I guess you could argue, actually, we could, if we're not careful, be really comfortable in our kind of celebratory season and then lose sight of, actually, there might be something else that the Lord wants to do with us. And I think, yeah, if you stay in these seasons for too long, they'll start to define you in not a very healthy way. So, yeah, it's easier sometimes, though, to stay put, isn't it? You know, in the gloom and the doom. I think particularly more in the bad side of it. It's nice to stay in the good, isn't it? But we just need to be mindful of all of these things, that we don't let seasons or situations or circumstances become idols to us. So where does the whole playlist thing fit in? Navigating the seasons. As I said, we might not be able to choose the season we find ourselves in for all sorts of reasons. Dave and I didn't choose what happened to us at the beginning of this year, but we could choose the soundtrack and the playlist and the background noise that underpinned it and permeated through that situation. There's a spiritual playlist and soundtrack for your season, and that will set the tone for where you are at. And again, really, really important, you are in control of that noise. You get to choose the noise that permeates your season. And you need to be aware of the noise that surrounds your life. And as I've been thinking about background noise, and Dave will hate me for this, but it's just so true. Since working at home, like properly working at home during COVID, and now we're still doing that. I used to, when I worked at home the odd days a week, I didn't mind having noise in the background, telly or radio, whatever it might be. But actually, as we've got more into it now, I can't work with a lot of noise around me. And then every now and then when Dave's upstairs, he'll get the ukulele out and, yeah, this is like, seriously, nobody needs that during their working day. But again, sometimes there's that sort of buzz of background noise. If I'm working quietly, Dave's on a call playing the ukulele or doing whatever it is that he does up in that office. And I just, it's really hard, isn't it, to concentrate when there's something noise in the background. And then the other thing that I don't do very well with, and I think it's because of my hearing more than anything, is when there's competing noise. So if we're sitting in the living room watching TV, and then somebody, so in our house that's Dave, if Freddie had still been at home, it'd probably be Freddie, they then start to look at something on their phone and put the volume up. So you've got these two bits of noise going on. Actually, that probably annoys me more than the other thing. I just can't deal with it. And I always go, right, one thing or the other, right? We're either doing that, we're doing that. But actually, it's a really good practical way of looking at this. And it's that thing, isn't it? Somebody might be humming a tune. Pete, you do this. You hum a tune, or you whistle a tune, or you start to sing "I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts" or some such song. But then we all end up singing. We all end up singing. That's the best of the songs. But it's true, isn't it? Somebody could be singing something, and then all of a sudden you've got that in your head for the rest of the day and all of the rest of it. Charlotte Gamble describes this as, you can be having a conversation that sounds like faith, but if the background noise in your life and your home is fear, the two things will be conflicting and fighting to be heard. So oftentimes there's that competing noise, isn't there? And oftentimes we can have a confession of something else where actually our background noise doesn't match up to it. And it really is that our soundtracks of our lives need to not be dictated by the world around us, but they need to be God-focused and centred, responding to his Holy Spirit as we seek him for what we need any time. And in Romans 12 and verse 1 to 2, and this is from the Message, it talks about placing your life before God. And it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognise what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God will bring the best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. So we need to think about the content and input in our lives, what's going to build us up in any particular season. So what we needed in our tough season is probably not what we need in this season. You need to take time to have a think about what that looks and feels like, just as I would in preparing a new playlist for a party or for some themed event. You have to take time to cultivate the content, to produce a soundtrack that is going to block out the loud, noisy, and probably a lot of times uninvited stuff that competes for our attention. So what makes up a seasonal soundtrack? I think it's made up of lots of things, but for me, it is always the word of God. There's always a word in season. It's always worship. And again, this morning, fabulous, absolutely fabulous, fabulous choice of songs. Always worship. I read a lot. probably not as much as I'd like, but I read a lot. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And again, in a particular season, you need content that's going to enrich your soul and stretch your thinking and help you in particular ways. The other thing I think that you need to think about in any season, and I call it soul food. So it's those things that you know are good for you. So for me, that might be getting in the kitchen, baking, being creative, getting out in creation, resting well, experiencing new things. And as I said before, self-care, really, really important in all seasons of life. But find something that just sets your soul on fire and makes you feel good. Could be exercise, could be all manner of things. And then importantly, people that are going to give you wise counsel and cheer you on. And as I've said lots of times before, I do believe that it's okay to have a common group of friends that are your kind of forever friends that are around you. However, in some seasons, there might be people that step into your world, particularly for that moment of time, that can help you in a specific way. And also, I would say in some seasons, it's really important because you may need it, and it's okay. Therapy and counselling are not a bad thing. It used to be, in the good old days, bad old days, who knows, but therapy and counselling were considered not a great thing to do in the Christian church, but it's really healthy, and actually a lot of the more well-known speakers and pastors, they're all in therapy, but in a good way. And again, if you don't really know where to start with all this, you can just head to the Psalms, can't you? That is just like a playlist for life, isn't it? So if you don't know about, you know, what books to read, what songs to listen to, all the rest of it, just head to the Psalms. But you need to make sure in all of this kind of content and the input into your life, you need to take this scripture into account. It's Philippians 4, verse 8 to 9. And again, this is a message. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realised. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work into you his most excellent harmonies. Some of the stuff we feed ourselves with the best intentions, is just not good for us, and we need to have that scripture in the back of our minds when we're thinking about what things may be good to help us through seasons. And this is really interesting, because over the course of this year, I've had a good old tidy-up of the things and people I follow on social media. Just sometimes it's good to do that, because you can spend your time looking at... I think I got far too interested in what Stacey Solomon was doing in her life, and you just have to go, well, yeah, lovely, but actually, no, not for now. And it's not the things that I was following were necessarily bad, and actually quite a lot of Christian content, I've just gone, right, that's not what I need right now. And actually some of it was just, it was just getting me cross. I don't need to know every week which pastors failed in the American church and all of the rest of it, because you just get dragged down in that stuff. I don't need to know that, and again, this is the sort of things that wind me up, that Elevation Worship are selling their tickets at $1,000 a pop to go and see the worship stuff. There are cheaper tickets, but that particular article just wound me up. So there are things sometimes, even though they're good, you just sometimes have to put them on the back burner and not listen to it. But I think it's the same, actually, for not just in the realms of social media, is actually there might be other noise or content or even people that can create a background noise to your life that can dull and hinder what you need to be hearing and focusing on your time. And that's really hard, isn't it? Because we don't want to be necessarily unkind to people. But there might be people that are not helpful to you in particular seasons. So I would really urge you and encourage you, and again, Richard alluded to this at family time back when we were talking about social media, that mute, unfollow, block are your friends, not only in the world of social media, but in everyday life. Some voices and noise are just not going to be helpful to you. And again, you can choose to access them or not. You can control what is spoken over you or what speaks into your life. A really good example of this, and it's a funny one, it only happened last weekend, and again, it was a Facebook thing, and my mum's closest friend of many, many years, she followed me on Facebook, never ever liked anything or any of the rest of it, but clearly looked at my stuff. But then she'd go moan to my mum about X, Y, and Z. Oh, they're always doing this, they're always doing that. Oh, this religious thing, that's a bit much, isn't it? That's a bit cultish. That's a bit much, isn't it? And then my mum, I've got her in my ear going, oh, it's a bit much, isn't it? And da 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 da. So what I've done after hearing that for the upteenth time, I've helped this lady out by blocking her. So I've done her a favour. She no longer needs to see my stuff, so she's no longer got that to moan about and go and moan to my mum and cause me a problem. Right? So you can do that. It might feel a little unkind to do that, but I just thought, you know what? I'm helping you out here. So this is really, really important, because the atmosphere surrounding your circumstances can change when you change the noise, when you change your confession, when you mute or block any unwelcome noise that is not helping you to thrive. And what I really think as well about seasons in generally is that whatever you walk through should have the ability to point people towards Jesus, to God's goodness, as we sung this morning. Whatever we're in, we should be able to say, yeah, that was really hard, but God, you were really good. You were faithful. You brought us from here to here. We've got a story to tell that's going to help people. And it's in that place where there is power to see change. And it's interesting, isn't it? In Acts 16, when we see Paul and Silas in jail, they're in a really hard environment in jail. Horrible. Can't imagine what it was like. And it didn't look like that circumstance was going to change anytime soon. But what they were in control of was the noise that permeated that place. And through them, through the changing of that background noise and the atmosphere, it created conditions for salvation. They turned that place of containment into a place of praise, and things change. I'm just going to read from verse 25 so you can see. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved and your household. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately, he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrate sent the officers to the jailer with the order, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace. So, and again, in reading that, the praying and singing hymns to God in that horrible place really set the scene and created freedom. Salvation was found, all of the rest of it. So that's just an example in the Bible where we see the changing of a noise. And I think in the hard times, it's really hard, isn't it, to praise God. We want to sing the blues, don't we? I'll come on to that in a minute. So how do these sort of things join together? Because they are kind of separate, but they're kind of important, I think, to join up. So I would just ask yourself the question, do you know and do you understand the season you're living in? Can you kind of name it, put a name around it? And suggest that you shouldn't allow your feelings about where you find yourself dictate the noise. But you need to be deliberate and populate it with the good stuff. There's that saying in life, isn't there, that it says, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass, it's about learning to dance in the rain. That's to praise when things are tough and not get bogged down in singing the blues, or in my case, it's probably a bit of a Celine Dion power ballad goes on and it all gets a bit gloomy. But then equally, it's been able, in the really, really good times, to still be able to weep and lament in the troubled world, because the danger is in the good. You're so in the good that you forget, actually, there's all of this other stuff coming on. I think that's the upside-down nature of the kingdom, isn't it? So that's that. And again, you might be able to identify things that are missing from your playlist. Might be a scripture, might be some content, a podcast, might be a person. But have a think about that, and think about what you need to thrive at this time. Again, do you need to change your playlist? So at the beginning of the year, the last time I spoke, it was right at the beginning of the year, where I talked about choosing faith over fear. What are you choosing? Think about those things that we heard at the beginning of the year. Is there really truth in life being spoken into you? And I think the key for navigating a lot of seasons of life can be found in this scripture. And I think, you know, Paul was a pretty awesome example at managing background noise and living life in the toughest of circumstances. And in Philippians 4 and verse 10 to 14, it talks about, doesn't it, being content whatever the circumstances. And he says, I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're again showing such concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You just had no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content whatever my circumstances. I think he really knew what he needed at any moment in time because of his complete reliance and trust in God. I'm just as happy with little as with much. With much as with little, I found a recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. And I think that's what we've learned over this last year, is that whilst the beginning of the year was horrible, we were kind of, it's weird to say that you were content in it, but it was okay because we knew we were on a journey and there was, you know, God was good in it. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. And I don't mean I didn't need your help. Sort of going, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. It did. It was a beautiful thing that you came alongside me in my troubles. And as Lynn shared earlier, again, we've come alongside her and made her part of the family. So whilst we can go, I'll just keep away, I need, you know, it's just me and the Lord, and I'm kind of happy with that. We do need each other at the right time, in the right place. And then the last thing that I found really, really helpful to do since reading this book, which I waved around the other week, and I'll wave it around again because it literally has just been the most awesome book. It's Shauna Nyquist's awesome book. I guess I haven't learnt that yet. And again, she's got to her mid-40s and realised, oh, there's a few things that I haven't learnt because life's changed and things have moved on and the old ways of living have stopped working. That's her kind of her vibe for the book. But what this book really, really taught me is to focus on what I'm still going to say yes to. Because even in the good and the bad and everything in between, you need that consistent thing or thread of goodness and truth, the things that are going to sustain you, the things that you're going to say yes to. And I'm just going to read a quote from her book. And this is in the chapter at the end, chapter 50 of her book. And it's called Still Yes. And this is the things that she, in all of the difficulties, and there are many in her life over a period of time, she says, I still say yes to life. I still say yes to creative work, to the church gathered, to storytelling and hospitality and living with an open heart. I still say yes to risk, to adventure, to diving into the wreck, to making something beautiful from loss. I still believe in Jesus Christ, in the power of the table, both the Eucharist and also takeout around a cramped apartment table. I still believe in forgiveness, laughter, pizza for breakfast, dancing in the kitchen. I still say yes to second chances, staying out too late, watching the sunset like a movie. That's my favourite thing. I gather everybody around. We're going to watch the sunset. What I love to do. Holding hands, farmers markets, taking the long way home. Is the world still beautiful? Still yes. Do our stories still matter? Still yes. Am I still hopeful? Still yes. Will I trust people? Will I trust God? Will I trust myself? Still yes. Yes. Yes.